Friends, in Christ's grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, the commander of the hosts of heaven, the Lord God of Sabaoth. Daniel chapter 10, our Old Testament reading today. Let me reread this portion for you. And behold, Daniel reports, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. And then the 21st verse, but I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side except Michael, your prince. This is God's word. Please be seated. In one of the final scenes of the movie The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy presents to the great and powerful Oz, she presents the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West with the expectation that Oz, the wizard, is going to keep his promise to get Dorothy back home again. Well, as the wizard begins to walk back his promise to Dorothy, Toto, her dog, runs over to that curtained area and she pulls back the curtain to reveal this man who is pushing buttons and pulling levers, and he's speaking into a microphone, and it turns out that the great and powerful Oz is just an old man from Kansas. It's a case of the curtain being pulled back to reveal that there's a lot less going on than we thought. Our Old Testament reading today also pulls back the curtain on a world we usually don't get to see, the realm of the heavenly places, as Paul talks about it in Ephesians 6. But in this case, it turns out that there's a whole lot more going on than we would have ever thought. In fact, there is an invisible war that is being waged in the heavenly places by the angels, and you and I are the turf over which this battle, this war, is being fought. The books of Isaiah and of Revelation give us some very interesting insights into the way this war began. Lucifer, one of God's most beautiful angels, apparently decided that he was not content to be an angel, but he wanted to ascend to the throne of God and to be God himself, to be like God. So he led a rebellion against God that involved perhaps as many as one-third of all the angels that God had created. But Michael and the holy angels fought back, until Satan, that ancient serpent, that great dragon, and his minions were defeated and cast out of heaven down to the earth. Banished now to the earth, they have not given up their fight. While they can no longer attack the throne of God directly, what they can do is to attack what God loves. And what does God love more than the people, you and I, whom he created in his image? And that is the war that has been raging ever since, that invisible war for the souls of every man, woman, and child. So Daniel 10 pulls back the curtain on one battle in this raging war. So let me try to set this up for you so that hopefully you can see what's going on both in the visible realm but also in the invisible realm. So in the visible realm, It is now 3 years after Cyrus, the king of Persia, had allowed the Jews to return back to their homeland of Judah after their 50 years of Babylonian captivity. Cyrus also permitted the Jews to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and their temple to the Lord, which the Babylonians had utterly demolished 50 years earlier. But Daniel receives news that the rebuilding efforts are not going very well. The Samaritans, who had still were living in that land, had gotten accustomed to living their lives without the Jews around, and they did not want the Jews back. And they were doing everything they possibly could to put up roadblocks and to prevent the Jewish reconstruction and repopulation of that land. And so they would, for example, they would bribe Persian officials. This is in the book of Ezra. They bribed Persian officials to use the regulatory power of the administrative state to frustrate the Jewish rebuilding plans at every turn. And then they would write letters to the king of Persia, falsely accusing the Jews, saying that they had no intention of paying their tribute or their taxes to the king. And as a result, Persia, its king, put a complete stop to the reconstruction of the temple in Jerusalem. It was a war between God's people, who were trying to reestablish themselves in the promised land as God willed them to do, and the Samaritans, who did not want the Jews there. And the whole thing distressed Daniel when he heard about it, and so he began praying and fasting for a period of 3 weeks, we are told earlier in Daniel 10. 3 weeks of praying and fasting. So that's what's going on in the visible realm. But as I said, Daniel pulls back the curtain to show us that there's a whole lot more to this story than meets the eye. Because behind the scenes, there are invisible forces that are at war. It turns out there are spirits involved in this whole story. And Daniel chapter 10 begins with Daniel standing there at the shores of the Tigris River, grieving over the bad news that he had heard from Jerusalem, when a hand touches his shoulder. And he turns and he sees a man. He describes him earlier in Daniel 10, a man whose body is like beryl. His face has the appearance of lightning. His eyes are aflame. His arms and his legs are like burnished bronze, and his voice is thunderous. And right away, we know who this man is. This is the angel of the Lord. This is the second person of the Holy Trinity. This is the pre-incarnate Son of God. This is Jesus in the Old Testament. And he has a message for Daniel, which is our Old Testament reading for today. And I'll paraphrase that message for you this way. First of all, he says, "Daniel, don't be afraid. I heard your prayer, and I have come here because of your prayer." And then the man says to Daniel, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days, the 3 weeks that you've been praying." Now, in the book of Daniel, these princes are angelic forces in the heavenly realms. This prince of Persia is an evil spirit that is influencing Persia against God's people. Behind the scenes, this prince of Persia is a demon that is fighting to thwart God's purposes for his people. And so then the man says to Daniel, "Then Michael, one of heaven's chief princes, an archangel, came to my aid. And he took up the fight against that spirit of Persia so that I could take my place with the kings of Persia and begin to influence the course of events according to God's plan and purpose." And then finally he tells Daniel that now he has to go back and continue that fight against the spirit of Persia. And he warns that even after that fight is over, another spirit will arise and will take up the battle against God and against his people. This time, it would be the prince of Greece. And if you know your history, You remember that the Greek Empire, inaugurated by Alexander the Great, was the next great world empire that ascended to power after the Persians, and that would also wreak havoc in the lives of the Jews. But then finally, this man that touched Daniel, his shoulder, says these words, "But I tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince." Your prince. Wow. It's just amazing to see what's going on here. What do we learn from all of this? Well, as I said, we learn there's a whole lot more going on in God's creation than we would ever have imagined. There is this entire realm of reality that is invisible to us, that is nevertheless influencing us and the course of history, in a realm where no one fights for us quite like the Son of God and like Saint Michael, the Prince of God's people. And perhaps all of this brings to your mind the words of the Nicene Creed. It did for me when we confess, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things," what? "Visible and invisible." There is a war going on in this invisible realm. Christ, the Lord of Sabaoth, the commander of the hosts of heaven, the angels, is fighting hard for us against Satan and his angels to guard and to keep you safely as the people of God. And now Satan and his cohorts, they are the spirit of this age, who are seeking to destroy everything that is good and godly, and especially trying to destroy you. And that spirit is alive and well in our world. It is influencing our culture, our politics, our people, our families, our schools, our institutions, even our churches, to rebel against God and against His Word, to the destruction of our souls. He is strong and He is ruthless and He is fierce. On earth He has no equal. And soon our loss would be affected were it not for Christ, who crushed the head of this ancient serpent at the cross and the open tomb, and will return one day to cast Satan and his entire wretched cohort of demons into the lake of fire that has been prepared for them. And on that day, Christ will be seen by all to be the victor, as well as all who trusted in Him. Until then, this invisible war is very much impacting our visible world and our lives. Satan and his demons tugging us one way, and Christ and his angels pulling against them. And in this war, Satan has one great advantage. That's that when he deceived our first parents, he got all of us. By their sin, sin came into all of humanity and all the world. We are all now born with sinful flesh, and so we are predisposed to rebellion, just like Satan. We're already inclined to do what Satan wants us to do. And Satan knows how to exploit that weakness, to bring us down by every kind of sin, and then to overwhelm us with guilt, and then to destroy our Christian faith, and to keep us focused on how unworthy we are of God's kingdom. As powerful as his weapon is, Christ has a weapon even more powerful. You are baptized. You have put on Christ, the one who took on Satan in the garden and at the cross and won a crushing victory over him by his resurrection. And because you now stand before God acquitted of any charge of sin, as St. Paul says in Romans, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he to condemn?" If Christ and his holy angels are for you, who can be against you? Sin cannot tear you away from God. You're forgiven for the sake of Christ. Death cannot separate you from God, for Christ is risen. the sure promise of your resurrection. And no force of hell will ever steal you away, because your name is written in heaven. And we, as we read today, we shall be raised from death on that last day. And we will shine like the brightness of the sky above, as Jesus so beautifully says it to Daniel. And then there's one more thing about this great invisible war that's taking place that I want to share with you. As we read we read Psalm 91, we read that God has charged his angels to guard and to keep us safely in all of our ways. And some people think that that means that if the angels are doing their job, nothing bad should ever happen to us. And if something bad does happen, then somehow Christ and Michael and his angels have all failed, and we have the right to grumble. But here's what you need to remember. Most of the battles that the angels are fighting for you, they are fighting in this invisible realm. God's charge to the angels to guard and to keep you is not a promise that the angels will protect you from every car accident or every skinned knee or every disease or your own foolishness. But instead, that promise is that when bad things do happen in this visible realm, that behind the scenes, you know that the angels are fighting for you to make sure that all of this is going to work for your good as God has promised. And that sheds new light for us on Psalm 91. The angels truly do guard and keep us safely in all of our ways. They fight for us so that even if God does permit evil to come into our lives in this visible realm, like he permitted the Jews to be taken into captivity, nevertheless, because the angels are fighting for us against the forces of evil in the invisible realm, all things are going to work out for your good and according to God's purpose. And so we can confidently say with the psalmist, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague will ever come near your tent. The reason it's all going to work out for God's purpose and for your good is that in this great invisible war, your angels are fighting for you, led by Saint Michael, our mighty prince, and commanded by the Lord God of Sabaoth, Christ, our mighty Savior. In his blessed name, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.